You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Hockey, yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
When we were faced with tough situations, we didn't stick to our game plan. We didn't stick to what made us successful. And that was the thing that really got me, because that was kind of our thing all year. And that's what got us to where we were, second in the conference and home ice advantage and all that stuff. So it was very uncharacteristic things that came up that, I think prevented us from moving forward.
Wow, is Dino jacked.
The artwork's
impressive. He'll kick your ass.
Yeah.
He might not be the best coach, but he'll kick your ass.
He's a good coach.
He's a very good coach, but I'm saying he might be more of a he'll-kick-your-ass type, and then he'll be a good coach. All right, so Judd's Hockey Show, Judd and Declan. Unfortunately, as the playoffs continue, and of course we saw what was a very entertaining game one between the Colorado Avalanche and St. Louis Blues, who beat the Wild last night, which would have been Tuesday night. The Avalanche win in overtime. The Wild season has ended far too early. Dex, first of all, before we get into Bill Guerin's comments there, has your view changed at all since our last show and the putrid Game 6 performance we saw from the Wild?
View changed as in?
Well, you've had time to calm down. You've had time to digest it. Do you feel any better about things now than you did the night of the, I think it was Thursday night, the night of the Game 6 loss?
I mean, I'm still disappointed. Still severely disappointed.
You pissed at all? Should be pissed.
I'm probably not as fired up, but it's just incredibly disappointing, I think, is kind of the thing I'm still menacing on. I think it's incredibly disappointing the way it ended.
Yeah. It was from the third period. Well, actually game four, very disappointed. Game five, 2-2 after two, not disappointed. Third period, yuck. Game six, incredibly disappointing, infuriating, in my opinion. All right, so you heard Bill Guerin's comments there. Let's get into this through the means of talking about the fact that the Wild was able to do things in 2021-22 to position itself pretty well to attempt to make a run. They fell woefully short because the buyouts of Parise and Suter did not really hurt them much this season. That will change now. For the next 3 years, the Wild is going to be in some form of salary cap hell. The cap, just as a for instance here, for 22-23, salary cap in the National Hockey League, $82.5 million. But the Wild, because of their issues with the buyouts, which are massive now, again, for 3 years, they're massive.
Yep.
In fact, the Parise Suter dead cap charge for 2022-23 is $12.7 million. So that brings the Wild cap ceiling down to $69.8 million. In other words, this is going to be very difficult. So before we start and talk about what the direction of the franchise is going to be, Declan Goff, why don't we hear again from Bill Guerin at his season-ending press conference, first of all, about the plans for soon-to-be restricted free agent Kevin Fiala.
I mean, we'd love to have Kevin back. I don't know if it's going to be possible. But we have to dig into it a little bit and to see what we could possibly do. But there is uncertainty. That's a good word for it.
So whether or not it's realistic for him to be on this team next year, Bill, that's kind of your answer.
Yeah, I'm uncertain. I am. We can do anything, but at what cost?
That goose is cooked.
He's your favorite player. He had a great regular season. Massively disappointing playoff. But so I think, Declan, when it comes to Fiala, I think Bill Guerin and Dean have been on board with him not being back for quite some time. But, you know, the end of the regular season was so good, right? He was so spectacular that I think we all said, and they probably to a certain point said, okay, should we rethink this? I think the playoffs, the six games, no goals, a few assists, minus five. He now has, if I'm not mistaken, one or two goals over the past two playoff years. I think you're right. I think that goose is cooked. And I do think they'll get a good return for him.
Yeah.
Because he's a restricted free agent. So it's not like he can hit the market. I don't see any way, though, on God's green earth that they're going to offer him a competitive contract. So, yes, I think your best hope is you make a trade with the Devils, Ottawa, the Islanders have been floated out there, Vancouver, and you either get a very high draft pick back or a prospect that you really like, or both in some cases. I'm with you, though. The playoffs was confirmation of the fact that the divorce is going to happen.
Yeah, that goose is cooked. I love his dynamic ability. The playoffs are definitely a sour taste. At length throughout his entire tenure, to be honest, I've tried my absolute best, and I have done my absolute best defending the guy when criticism has arose on his game. But unless, and this is the only way I think it stays, I can see them saying, here's what we're going to offer you. And I'm going to lowball it. I'm going to go really low here, playing armchair GM. We'll give you a 3-year deal worth $5.5 million per. Take it, or we're going to shop you and you can find your best services. Now, here's the conundrum that the Wild also face. And by the way, I think Fiala says, all right, screw you, goodbye, and trade me to that offer. But that's I think, the only way. If it's really team-friendly and it doesn't handicap the team long-term, that's the only way that they would attach themselves to Fiala. The issue I think the Wild have on this poker table of trying to figure out what to do with him is I think everyone in the league also knows that they're going to trade him. So the return isn't necessarily going to be, I think, as high as we think it is. I don't think they're going to get a bad return for Kevin Fiala. But if I saw a guy who had 34 goals, 87 points, has been basically playing at a 30-40 goal clip over an 82-game pace the last three seasons, I think a lot of teams would say, well, sign me up, and also it's going to take a lot for you to give up that player, right? Well, also, all teams now know they're trying to move him, and that does diminish, I think, the return that you can get. Again, I think they get a decent return for him. They're not going to take him for pennies on the dollar. But also, I think fans keep in mind that because he's basically going to want out and he's not going to get the money that he wants, I think the bidding for his services aren't going to be as high as maybe we think it is or should be for a player of that pedigree and caliber.
I think the most important thing is you need to get at least two, if not three, teams bidding. Because if you do that, I think you can maximize the return. If it's one team, you're probably in trouble. But if you can get the Devils, the Senators, and I don't know, one more team involved, and they're all like, oh, yeah, we really want him. And now you can go, Bill Guerin can go from team to team to team, right?
Yep.
But yeah, if it's one team, excuse me, I think you're right.
You're a little choked up thinking about Kevin there, huh?
I thought I'd be choked up on this episode. I'm choked up thinking about the season. I'm choked up thinking about the second round of the playoffs has started and the Wild's home again. That's what I'm choked up about. I'm pissed off about it. But yeah, so I think you're going to get a really good return if you can create a bidding war. Mm-hmm. I think if you can't create a bidding war, I would definitely agree. If it's one team, you're going to get a nice return, but you're not going to get what you expect. Now, the one thing I will say is when it comes to negotiations, Bill Guerin's done a pretty good job. It feels like he's done a pretty damn good job.
Yeah.
So he's not going to get fleeced. Part of the problem with the Devils is that they, because of their success once again in the lottery, they're picking second. They're not going to, I don't think, give up the second overall pick to get Fiala. Now, they've got prospects like what? Dawson Mercer, who they might. And so if you could go to the Senators, and because you would almost certainly ask for the seventh pick, which I think is a realistic ask. But when it comes to the Senators, if you could get them involved with the seventh pick on the table, the Devils with a couple of prospects or a prospect that you really, really like, I think that there's a very good chance that you'll be pretty satisfied with the return. And keep in mind, too, because of the 3 years of salary cap hell, Declan, the other thing that's so important is you need to get a good young player or draft pick for cost control.
Correct.
Like, that's absolutely imperative here. You're going to be battling against this cap, which, you know, the cap went up, what was it, by $1 million for next year? Mm-hmm. It was going to be flat, and then I think they decided to move it up. But, you know, the reality is this. In this league, is the cap going to skyrocket in 2 years? I would guess no.
Probably not.
So, you know, that's the thing. In football, it skyrockets. So it's like, okay, the cap's low this year. Well, it ain't going to be low next year. Hockey is not the same.
Yeah, and keep in mind, too, the Wild actually have picks, I should say, in the first six rounds of this draft. Despite all that wheeling and dealing they did, they actually still have draft picks in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth round, which is actually very impressive. I think one name and one situation to keep an eye out for if they were to trade with Ottawa, who has, yes, the seventh overall pick in the draft. Number one, I wouldn't be surprised that's a pick swap. If they say, give us Kevin, give us the seventh, you can take the 22nd. You can still get a first round pick. That could be something. And a player I would look at if I was Minnesota as someone that can kind of bridge the gap as a player who's less than Fiala, but you still get someone that's impact player is Connor Brown. Connor Brown actually came on with the Maple Leafs about 5 years ago and had a really good rookie season, scored 20 goals. Since then has kind of been not the same player, but had 39 points last year. He's 28 years old. He is under salary for $3.6 million the next 2 seasons. So he's cheaper than Fiala. He's a lesser player than Fiala, but he's not some slappy. Like you could plug him into the Wild and you should probably expect 15 to 20 goals from him. So little pin in that. If they are to go to the Ottawa Senators, look, just recklessly speculating here, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a pick swap and maybe even a guy like Connor Brown coming back.
All right, so we started with Kevin, but let's go into a game of will he stay or will he go? Because there are several guys. Fiala being traded goes a long way towards at least not making your salary cap problems as bad, Declan. But there's a lot of names here that I think some of whom are under contract for next season, some of whom aren't, that I think you got to look at here. I think you got to look at them either because of salary, because of play. And look, make no mistake, the end of the season, the playoffs were a bust. Like,
yeah, totally.
How they lost was a total bust. I told you at the start, or heck, I told you well before the playoffs when we knew they were going to play the Blues, that if the Wild lost to the Blues in a long series, I wouldn't be shocked. I'd be disappointed, but I wouldn't be shocked. But seeing those last three games when they got swept was inexcusable. How they played, I never saw that coming. I didn't. I mean, we were told, and in the regular season, it was true. This was a different team, different mentality. Parisi and Suter were gone. I mean, Bill Guerin flat out said, I'd do it again. I would cause myself salary cap problems again to clear those guys out of the room. And in the regular season, it worked out perfectly. We got to the playoffs, and it was deja vu. So let's go through this. I will throw out a name. You give me your thoughts, okay?
Okay.
So we both agree. Fiala's gone.
He's
like,
gone.
There's probably just no way to keep
Goose
him.
Goose is cooked.
Yep. All right. Next name I'm going to throw out, and this is not because of salary. This guy is paid $3 million per through 2024-25. Recently signed an extension. Jordan Greenway. How in love are you with Jordan, who I still think disappears for inexcusable amounts of time, for a guy whose game is predicated on not disappearing?
I would say I'd be pretty surprised if he was moved. He was just recently signed. Unless a team comes calling and is like in love with his game, I don't think the Wild are going to be dangling him by any means. I know what you mean. He's when he's on and when he's skating really hard, he's an effective player, and I like the energy, and I love the size that he brings.
Yep.
The problem is, even when his game is at its peak, it's to me, it's replaceable. I'm not in love with it. It can be catchy and fun to watch when a guy's that big and skating that hard, and isn't afraid to throw the lumber around. But in general, I'm not in love with his game. I'd be surprised if Guerin dealt him. If I was running the Wild, I would not have signed him to that contract, and I probably would have tried to deal him this summer. But I think Guerin does like what he brings mostly, and I'd be pretty surprised if he was moved from the Guerin and the Wild side.
I agree. I would be surprised. That being said, here's what worries me. It took about two and a half games or so for Berube, the Blues coach, to figure out how to beat the Eriksson Ek line. And Greenway, I'm with you. I watch him play, and I think to myself, this guy should be going 100 miles per hour all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, that's his game. And he does, what would you say, 30% of the time? 40%? Right. It's not 50% of the time. So, yes, I agree. He's not going – I don't think he'll be traded. That being said, it intrigues me. I don't know that I think – and I guess my questions are also partially based on this. I don't know that I think he is a winning playoff player. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know what you mean, yes.
Like I don't know in a series where I need him to – like, that Blues series was made for him. Absolutely made for him. All right, next name, acquired for Sturm near the trade deadline, makes $2 million in 2022-23, and then it will be an RFA. He centered the fourth line. Tyson Jost, who I've seen Russo speculating could be moved, not for certain, but if they choose to go in a direction to try and recoup some of their salary cap room, Tyson Jost could be on the trade block. Your thoughts?
I would not like them to trade Tyson Jost. I think actually there's more to his game. He played well in that fourth line role, and he was buried in Colorado in a similar situation. I want to see him get elevated minutes. I want to see him, if they moved Kevin Fiala, I would like to see some of those minutes delegated to him. And to be honest, I'd rather roll with him as a third line center than I would Frederick Goudreau. I know the team wouldn't. I'm well aware the team would not want to do that. I want this guy in the top nine. There's something to his game more. He's a first-round pick. He's 10th overall. I know that the trust in Frederick Goudreau is immense, but personally, I'd rather see Tyson Jost. And he's under contract for $2 million more. He's an RFA after next season, but I would personally like to keep him around.
I think Russo speculated, if I'm not mistaken, and if I'm wrong, I apologize, but I think he speculated that the second line minus Fiala might be Goudreau moved to wing, Rossi at center, and then who's the other,
Boldy?
The other wing? Yeah, Boldy at the other wing, which also leaves Ryan Hartman at first line center, which, by the way, for me now, it is a non-starter. I do not want, to your point about who's playing where, I do not want Ryan Hartman on opening day training camp first line next season. It was, he was, you know what, he had a great pop-up year. He was really, really good. But the playoffs exposed him. And, I mean, this is all about the playoffs. Like, if this is all about what Bill Guerin said, winning, it's all about the playoffs. Like, you have to be doing everything you possibly can to gear up for the playoffs. And so I don't know what Rossi's impact is going to be, certainly immediately next season. But, yeah, like, I like where you're going as far as ideas for names being different places. Because, well, I think Hartman 1,000%, especially with his salary, has a role on this team. I do not think it's back between Zuccarello and Kaprizov.
Two things on Hartman. I would be pretty surprised unless they received a first-line center or acquired some first-line center via trade or free agency of some sorts. I'd be pretty shocked if he was not the number one center next season, on opening night at least. I know what you mean. But the other side of that would be then, this team should probably be looking towards, like, capitalizing on that value and moving him right away. Like, if he had this career season, and I know he's signed, he had a great look. He's only under contract for $1.7 million the next two seasons. That's an awesome steal for a guy that scored 30 bleeping goals. Right. But I'd be pretty surprised if they moved him. But the playoffs, he was awful.
Yes, I agree with that.
He was awful. He was terrible in the playoffs.
I don't think they're going to trade him. I think his contract, because it's so low, almost mandates he stays, because in their cap current predicament, it's great. But yeah, the playoffs, if this is truly all about getting to the playoffs and being successful, Ryan Hartman is not, I have to be careful how I say this, because I do think he is a winning player. As a first line center, he's not. Like, come playoff time, all I care about is what we saw.
Yep.
In those six games. I don't care about December. Like, that's all great. That's all, oh man, that was fun. He was good. But the reality is this. If we're going to assume, and I'll play along with this, if we're going to assume that the room was greatly improved, which I do think it was, like, I do think that there was a chemistry here, then the issue becomes this on the ice. So it's not like petty jealousies became a problem. And in those six games, we saw the deficiencies on the ice, which is almost great, because now that enables you to make moves with that in mind. So it's not like Ryan Hartman has to go because he's a bad guy. He's not a bad guy. He's a hardworking guy. But I just don't want to see him back between a superstar player and a guy in Zuccarello who is, you know, again, bad in the playoffs, but he's good. He belongs on that line. Hartman does not.
I agree.
Nick Delorier, UFA, would love to be back. Loved it here.
He made $1 million last year, and he was scratched, I believe, in Game 6, too, wasn't it? I don't think he drew into the lineup
hurt,
in Game
supposedly.
6.
He was scratched. Yeah. Supposedly hurt. He was not. He had no role in that.
If he wants to come back on a vet minimum, okay, come back. I don't mind what he brought during the regular season, but yeah, he's a fourth line body that probably also isn't going to play 82. He's going to draw out of the lineup due to his lack of ability. But
right.
I would bring him back, but like on a vet minimum. Like I like the energy. I thought he was a funny guy in the locker room, but he's 31 years old. You shouldn't be necessarily prioritizing bringing back guys north of 30 in free agency when you're in cap hell either.
Here's why I'm out.
Okay.
Because I think that you can, one, he had no role in the playoffs because guys don't fight now. I like the fact that he is a presence, though. So, like, you're probably going to give me less, you're probably going to give my guy less crap because of his presence. That being said, though, you can get these guys at the deadline every year.
Oh, yeah.
The one thing I really liked about this team early on, it felt like, Declan, was this. Every line, including the fourth line, had speed, like was athletic. They didn't bog things down. They could play at pace, which for a long time, this franchise had no chance. So I would say that while I see the reason in certain situations for a Delorier, I think you can get one. And I would prefer to give a younger, faster player a fourth line chance throughout the course of the majority of the season.
Makes sense. Yes, I hear your logic there. I like him, but I'm definitely not gonna. Yeah, I'm definitely, and I think Guerin likes him too. And Guerin would have given up a fourth round pick, I believe,
third
round pick,
a future third, like 2020
for basically a goon. Yeah, so a little bit of a surprise because I thought on the surface I ripped that trade just because I knew the player of who he was, and I guess I
good chemistry guy.
I like what he did in the room and that kind of stuff. So. Mm-hmm. I could see him coming back, but definitely don't break the bank for him, for sure.
Nick Bjugstad, who was scratched basically throughout the playoffs.
They clearly are not in love with his game.
At times he looks good.
I know. I thought at times last year he was really good. I think he's gone. He made $900,000 last year. Could they bring him back in a similar figure? Sure. But I think he's gone.
Defensemen are next, but before we get there, I want to talk about, Declan, how guys like you and me can play defense against bad boxers, bad long johns, and there's a very simple way. It's called chill boys. Chill boys are what? I mean, boxers, fantastic. Long johns, unbelievable. You wore your long johns to the Winter Classic, which was miserably cold.
Oh, God.
And were how comfortable?
Very comfortable. I had no problem down there. My feet were the only thing that kept me cold. But luckily, my boys were nice and toasty. And now that it's summertime, I have the performance brand on when I'm hitting the golf course and either putting balls in the water or chipping off and duffing a shot off the green. I have my chill boys on, and I love my chill boys. They're a Minnesota-based company. Check them out.
chillboys.com. And you know what, Declan, too? My chill boys, they fit well now.
Why is that?
Fit well. They're not all tight, and I'm not as fat, and that is because of my friends. Well, I mean, it's true. At Livia Weight Control Centers, they've helped me drop 40 pounds since September. And here's the best part. I'm still working with them because they are helping me do the one thing I have never done. I've lost weight a million times in my life, but I have never actually maintained the weight loss. They are helping me do exactly that. And now they want to do the same for you. The new Simple Start plan, only $59. You get one-on-one personalized and guided support online or in person. So if you're outside the state, that's absolutely fine. You can Zoom in, do a consultation. Their team of experts, dietitians, heck, I call them coaches. They are fantastic. There's no guilt. If you gain a pound back, you gain a pound back. You know what? They're going to help you lose too. You go to 855-GO-LIVEA. Call that 855-GO-LIVEA. Livia.com. LIVEA.com. Start the weight loss today. I'm going to tell you right now, not only is that possible, but it's also very gratifying to lose the weight and keep the weight off. All right, on to the defensemen. Let's start with the big one, Matt Dumba, due $6 million in 2022-23, and then scheduled to hit unrestricted free agency. He has a 10-team no-trade list, but I think the assumption has been if there was ever going to be a case to be made that they were going to try and keep Fiala, Dumba is almost certainly gone. Your thoughts on Matt Dumba and whether he'll come back next season?
I think it's split. I think it's about a 50-50 right now as how my gut looks at it. I think they like his game more than Fiala. They like him in the room a lot. He's an alternate captain.
I agree.
There's things about him that management really, really likes. I think the only way, actually, I think what sways them moving him is a cap issue. It's a cap issue. He's making $6 million. He's a UFA after that season. He's going to be due for another big payday. I don't think he's going to be able to get more than $6 million unless he just absolutely explodes for a career year. And still, do I want to take the chance that he's, again, not fooling us, but is he going to be able to replicate that in future seasons? I think the reason they move him is for cap reasons. Now, you know, we were calling for Kalen Addison, and Kalen Addison, I thought, still has a bright future. I think Guerin maybe hasn't been in love with his development, even though he knew him in Pittsburgh and they got him in the Jason Zucker trade. I think the reason they would move him is for cap reasons. I don't think they'd move him because his game has stalled out or not what it should be at. I think they really like his game. I think the biggest reason they'd move him would be to clear up $6 million in cap space. That would then also give the Wild about $12 million just as it stands right now. 13.3 million in cap space if they moved Matt Dumba. That's valuable money right there. So I unfortunately think if they move him, it's a cap reason. I don't think it's necessarily a performance reason.
The more I think about this too, Dex, I think this also comes down to a question that's probably going to be taken to Dumba and his reps in the coming months. And that's this: what will you return for? Because the salary cap hits actually, or the penalties for Parisi and Suter actually get worse in the next 2 years.
After
so they're
this,
bad in 2022-23. They jump up and get worse in the next 2 years. So I think Dumba has a very good chance to stay if he's willing to take a reasonable, probably team-friendly contract. If he says, oh, no, I'm going to try and break the bank, he's probably gone. Because at some point in time, somebody's got to go. I mean, trading Fiala certainly helps, but that doesn't clear up the entire problem. And so I think if he says, you know what, I love it here, I'll play for less here, that's cool. What did you think, just quickly, of him, of us finding out that he played through, what, a broken rib, a dislocated rib, and a punctured lung from that late season, regular season game in Nashville, missed the final 10 games, but then said, I'm playing in the playoffs. He did. He clearly couldn't shoot. I thought he, like, dislocated his shoulder. Worse than that, and a punctured lung is not,
God,
not an injury to be trifled with.
No.
I'm mixed on this one, and look, I don't blame him. Like, I mean, good for him but I don't know if that's the best thing for the team to have a guy who's clearly, I mean, he worked his ass off, and I know the advanced metrics of his playoff performance were complimentary. I'm sort of torn here, though, personally.
Yeah, that, and again, that's where I think you saw the advanced metrics and his expected goal for it, and goals for it in general were solid when he was on the ice. There was nothing about his game that was like that exciting offensively in the postseason. And again, I think there's things about his game that traditional fans and a lot of maybe casual fans look at like, replace him, get rid of him. He doesn't shoot the puck anymore. He just throws around his weight. He makes dumb mistakes. They kind of look at him as in the same realm as Fiala sometimes with those goggles. I think him playing through that injury, that it's a warrior mentality. I love it. Good for you, dude. But at the end of the day, that guy couldn't shoot. Like he could not shoot at all. And that was because of the injury. And I think in general, you need that guy to be somewhat of a force for you on your power play and slapping on more shots. And I think he's a solid player. I think the only reason they move him, though, is for the cap reasons.
And he has hurt a lot.
Yeah, he's missed
like,
games.
He's got to be breaking down. Mm-hmm. He has hurt a lot. All right, next guy from the blue line, a guy that I thought was a great addition throughout the course of the regular season and then the playoffs game. Dmitry Kulikov has an 8-team no-trade list. He's due $2.25 million in 22-23 and then a UFA. I thought he was a really nice addition throughout the course of the regular season. His playoff could not have been worse. I think I'm done here.
I think he stays. Number one, also, like, how did Dmitry Kulikov get an 8-team no-trade list? Who's his agent? Who orchestrated that?
I've got 6 teams.
You got 6 teams you're not going to play for?
Stella's got 12.
Stella's got 12? All right, I'm open. I'm not going to handicap myself.
Limited no-move clause for Stella the dog.
Unlike a lot of Wild fans, I don't mind watching Colorado, so I can go to Colorado. I could go to St. Louis. Doesn't matter to me.
Colorado's fun to watch.
Exactly. I think he's back. If they move Dumba, I think he's back.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They'd spread out his minutes.
Matthew.
Yeah, I think in general he's still back next season. There's not really a need to get rid of him. Yes, his ceiling is kind of not that high, but I think you know what you're getting them, and I'd be pretty surprised if they moved on from him.
As the kids say, I'm good dog. Jordy Benn, UFA, bye-bye.
Goodbye. Yeah, that's easy. No biggie. Goodbye. Thank you, Jordy.
Okay. All right. So this also comes back to a large extent, Dex, the status on the roster of Dumba and Kulikov, but a guy whose name you brought up, Kalen Addison. He is due $795,000 next season, and then he is an RFA. He's a guy that played in playoff games a year ago against the Golden Knights, basically was forgotten about, and you must be right. Guerin must not like how he has developed. Do you think that he gets a legit shot next season? And because if he doesn't, I think he's probably traded.
Yeah, so he's been an awesome player in the AHL. He's played in 18 NHL games, gotten the 3 playoff games last season. World Juniors kid. I think he gets an opportunity to play. Yeah, great mustache. Great mustache.
So who's gone, do you think, if he's going to get a chance?
Dumba. If they moved him, I believe he gets the opportunity. He's accomplished everything there is in the AHL. Like there isn't really much for him to accomplish down there more.
Something happened, right?
Yeah.
Like something must have happened this season they didn't like.
And I think if I can make a case that he's their most tradable prospect that could get you something back in return. You know, I they're not going to move Boldy. They're not going to move Rossi. He's that next guy that you could throw in a package to get you something of substantial value in return back. So I personally think he's here. And from the cost perspective side, it makes even more sense. If he can be diet Matt Dumba with making literally $6 to $7 million less than him, we'll sign him up for it every time. So I think personally that he's back next season.
Last guy, I want him back because he's a character acquired at the deadline in the Kaapo Kakkonen trade, defenseman Jacob Middleton, who is an RFA. I will say this, Declan. I want him back. I liked him. Big presence. I don't know he's a first-pairing guy full-time. And he was obviously put with Spurgeon on the first pairing. I don't know that he's a first-pairing guy, but I do think he is for sure a guy who can play top six and play consistently. I liked him a lot.
Yeah, I
and
like
I
him.
I was wrong because I ripped him. I said his first game was bad because it was.
Yep, he's back. Be very surprised if he's back. I think he is for right now a top pairing defenseman. He was playing with Carlson in San Jose too. I think there's still a little bit more to his game. I wouldn't be upset if he's your top pairing defenseman. I think he's a solid player. There's probably even more to him. He's a main priority to get done. And I don't think also because he hasn't played a ton of games, I'd be pretty
he'll come back at a reason.
Yes. He's gonna get a reasonable for reason. Sure. He'll get a little bump in pay. But I'd be pretty surprised if they moved on from after acquiring him in the trade. He'll be back next season.
And just to be clear, too, playoff-wise, you need far more from Spurgeon and Brodin. So like, we're not glossing past them. They're not being traded. They're totally safe. That's not the point. The point is, I thought both of them in the St. Louis series were incredibly disappointing.
Yeah, they were.
And I'm sure they were beat up. Everybody is. But that was one where, like, their playoff performances will not suffice. Like, that's not just, oh, man, they didn't play that great. No, they have to. All right, let's move on to the last position group of guys. Will they stay or will they go? We move on to goaltender, and let's hear Bill Guerin's quote about Marc-Andre Fleury's potential return to Minnesota.
Bill, will you try to resign Marc-Andre Fleury?
Yes.
And regardless, I guess, of how that pans out or whoever your second goalie is that you bring in or sign.
We want them both back.
How does that affect Cam's status? Well, he's
doesn't
unchanged.
Affect it at all. No, I think, guys, I got to be honest with you. With situations like this, you guys make more of it than we do. It's really not that big of a deal. There's no controversy. There's no drama. It's, you know what? We like both goalies. We like both people. We want them both back. And you know what? We think we can be successful with both of them.
First of all, Dean looks like the bouncer for Billy. Like, Dean looks like he's just menacing. He's got the artwork. He's just jacked. He looks like it's like, hey, you get out of line with your questions. Dino's coming for you. All right. So 37, taking it year to year now. Marc-Andre Fleury acquired at the trade deadline from the Chicago Blackhawks for a conditional draft pick, which was going to be a first if the Wild made it to the conference finals and Flower won enough games. That didn't take place. I think now it's a second-round pick, correct?
Mm-hmm. Second.
Second-round pick?
Yep.
Okay. Marc-Andre Fleury, do you think he's back after what Bill Guerin said?
I think he is back. It's certainly not a lock, but I think he liked his time here. He doesn't like change with his family. You know, like he clearly is thinking about his post-retirement life, and good for him. There's really not much more for him to accomplish in his career. I think he is back. I think he's back at a reasonable deal. I wouldn't mind him mentoring, you know, the next wave of goaling, just being that little stopgap option for the Wild before Jesper Wallstedt makes that climb. I think he's back. I do think he's back next season for the Wild.
I think the only way he's not back, and I think it's a long shot, is if Pittsburgh calls him and says, come back. Because I think his goal was to get back there. But I think the people that brought him in are largely gone now. So, yeah, I think if Pittsburgh doesn't call, and my guess is that they won't, that he's back here. Cam Talbot.
I don't.
Not happy, not pleased. Well, I should say Kelly Talbot, his wife, was not. Cam and the team clearly trying to put a happy face on the fact that he didn't get used till game six. You think Cam Talbot is back next season?
I don't think so. I just don't. I like Cam's game a lot. If they re-sign Fleury, I think then he's gone. You can find backup goaltenders all over the place. You know, you really can. So I think he's gone. You could even make a case there could be a straight-up goalie-for-goalie swap if he went to another team gives you back another goaltender. I could see that happening as well. I think if Fleury's re-signed, he's gone. You can, and also, even though he's making decent money, I believe, yeah, he's making $3.5 million. $3.6 million, excuse me, for next season. Marc-Andre is probably going to make a similar. I know he made six technically throughout the year. The Wild were on the hook for half of it. That number probably comes down a little bit for next season because he's up there in age and just you're not going to pay a 38-year-old goaltender $5 to $6 million anymore. But I think if you moved on from Cam, I think you can find another backup goalie out there. I really think you can. So
and Wallstedt's going to be up here at some point.
Yep.
Like, that's the thing. And it's going to be an eventual transition. Now, I'm not saying next season because it's almost certainly not going to be then. But yeah, there's going to be an eventual transition to Wahlstedt in goal. And I do think that he very much is their long-term guy there, at least in their minds. I think Cam Talbot's gone. Bill can say all he wants about you guys make more of it than we do. And about the tweets that got deleted by Cam's wife, Kelly. But look, what she tweeted is clearly how he felt, and it's how they felt. And I don't blame him. Like, yeah, you're mad. But to try and be like, and, you know, Cam was like, well, I was mad. I was pissed off. Of course I was. But, you know, I think the reality is this. I think they're going to put a priority on trying to bring Flower back. I think that they like him. Bill likes him a lot. Whether it's a mistake or not, I don't know. But if they do that, they're not going to want Cam as well. And so, yeah, I think Cam's gone, and I'm going to give Kelly Talbot credit and say what she tweeted. Yeah, she's mad and that's great. But I also think that there was probably a lot of truth about how her and her husband felt. So I'm with you. I think he's gone. Flowers back. Wahlstedt in a year or so is the guy eventually. And the goaltending sorts itself out. All right, we are.
You know, there's no room for petty bull.
Play that anymore. But now there is room for it. They didn't do anything.
That was petty BS.
I don't blame the Talbots. Kelly Talbot, thank you very much for telling the truth. Thank you for telling the truth. I'm giving Kelly Talbot credit. You know what she did? She came clean. She told us what she and Cam thought, and I don't disagree with the fact that's not, you know, don't. Let's not BS. Try and. Let's not try and minimize it.
It's
They're the upset.
That's the definition of petty BS. Anyway.
Anyway, BS is how the Wild played in the first round. We're done. I'm Judd. He's Declan. Media. Declan?
Yeah, pass, shoot, score. Right? We'll be back again. We'll be back in. The offseason's not done. I think this goaltending...
Oh, no, we're not done with the show.
And I think the goaltending conversation is another conversation on another lead of an episode.
We'll be back next week.
Yeah, we will.
I say we do one next week.
We will.
I mean, we can talk about the playoffs if nothing else. The Avs are good, man. Are they fun to watch?
All right, man. Pass your score. Goodbye.
Did you know that 61% of pet owners feel more prepared to be a good pet parent after testing with Embark? Embark your dog with Embark's dog DNA test to get hundreds of actionable health insights. You can be proactive with their health and work with your vet on a personalized care plan. Go to EmbarkVet.com and use promo code DNA, that's DNA, to get $60 off an Embark Breed and Health Kit or Purebred Kit with free shipping. That's promo code DNA to save today.